Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Eat me.
All right, you have tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. We're coming to you live from the studios in the beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host today, Erin Fairbanks, and we are in studio with Sean Quinn, executive chef at Chadwick's. Sean, welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you.
And we are also on the line with Marissa May, co-owner of SD26. Marissa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we're excited to kind of jump in and talk about this amazing award that's coming up and this culinary program that Sean and yourself have been a part of. But I thought we'd kick it off by letting folks know a little bit, Marissa, about you and about your dad and kind of the history that you guys share with the New York restaurant community. So maybe you can give us, I know it's a whole career, we won't be able to cover it all in the show today, but just a recap for folks who may not be familiar with your work through SD26 and the kind of history that your family has given to the city.
That's true. It would be an entire show if I had to tell my father Tony May's career in the business for 50 years. But anyway, we can actually start, you know, where he actually began in New York City, where I was born also. My dad is actually a native of Naples, Italy, came from nothing, from the city of Naples. And his dream was always to be in hospitality and the restaurant business. And he started very young working on the cruise ships in Italy, and that's where he learned his trade. And he came to America and saw that Italian food was totally misinterpreted. So he began, his first job was actually working for some famous restaurants in New York, which a lot of people who are listening to the show probably would not know of, but Delmonico's and Orsini and the Colony Club. And he heard there was an opening at the Rainbow Room, and he actually got the job of a maitre d', then he became the general manager, and then he became the own operator of the Rainbow Room, which was a big achievement at that time, especially being an immigrant. But what he did start, he actually, to sort of teach Americans and people about Italian food, because he always said, oh my goodness, he came to America and all he saw was pizza and spaghetti and meatballs, which is definitely a part of our cuisine, but it's not what people actually go out to dine for in Italy. So he thought it was completely misinterpreted and started something called the Italian Fortnights at the Rainbow Room back in the 1970s, in which he brought in guest chefs from Italy that cooked authentic Italian cuisine and brought in great winemakers from Italy that people actually never heard of. And people were not recognizing this sort of Italian cuisine because people always thought spaghetti, meatballs, pizzas. And he actually started to open the eyes of the American public. And after he opened the Rainbow Room, he decided he wanted to focus basically on just Italian cuisine. So he opened up the first fine dining authentic Italian restaurants. And his first attempt for that was a restaurant called Palio and Equitable Center, which actually achieved world acclaim. And then the follow-up was a restaurant called San Domenico in Central Park South, which really, I think, put Italian food on the map. But it was always driven by education and young people. And so we helped, you know, also to teach Americans what Italian food was, got on the board of the Culinary Institute of America and helped set up the Caterina de' Medici kitchen up at the Culinary Institute of America, which was a kitchen that taught Italian, authentic Italian cuisine. And then he started actually a school in Piedmont, Italy, called the Italian Culinary Institute for Foreigners, and that was in Castello di Asti, this beautiful castle in which American students and students throughout the world could go and study and learn first hand about authentic Italian products, you know, authentic wines, service. And so his whole life has been dedicated to sort of, you know, dedicated to educating young people, young chefs, but also the American public about what Italians really eat today in Italy.
Nice. So we are going to talk a little bit about the award he's going to be receiving through CCAP Careers through the Culinary Arts Program in just a minute. But I wanted to give you a chance now, since, 2009, you and your dad have been working together on a project, SD26. Now, what is that?
Yeah, well, I grew up in the restaurant business my whole life from when I was born, and I started when I was 16 years old working with my father during the summers, and he didn't pay me at that time. Obviously, family business works like that, but he did send me to Italy every summer, so I got to learn a first class about Italian hospitality, go to restaurants throughout Italy, Michelin-starred restaurants, go to vineyards and meet winemakers, and so he'd always trained me to go into the business, and I loved food, I loved people, I loved the theatrics of it, and so I started when I was 16 at San Domenico Central Park South, and then when I was 21, when I graduated NYU, I started full-time. So we were there for 20 years on Central Park South, and when our lease was up after 20 years, our landlords quadrupled the rent on us, so we decided that maybe it was time for us to move on, reinvent, build a more exciting, sexier, younger sister of the old San Domenico, but still retaining the traditions of authentic Italian cuisine, still being the same father-daughter team, still standing for quality and quality ingredients, imported from Italy, and so we built SD26 on Madison Square Park.
Awesome. So I want to tuck into a little bit about CCAP here. Now, CCAP is an organization that works with public schools across the country to help prepare underserved high school students for college and career opportunities in the restaurant and hospitality industry. So they're a national nonprofit. It's kind of amazing. Since 1990, have given away $37 million in scholarships and donated over $2.8 million worth of supplies and equipment to classrooms. And I'm excited. Sean, you were actually a graduate of that program. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you got into that and what the impact of it has been on your career.
I was a CCAP student in high school. I went to Tottenville High School in Staten Island. I started cooking my junior year of high school, and I guess I was fairly good at it. And the chef said, there's a competition to win scholarships for culinary school. So I said, absolutely, any help would be great. So I started training with him and CCAP for the competitions. I impressed the judges in the competition in my senior year of high school. And I won money to go to New England Culinary Institute in Vermont.
Wow. So when you were in high school, were there a lot of different kind of choices that you were looking between? You're like, okay, do I want to pursue, something in the shop or cooking or, math or science or whatever? I mean, how was it that cooking stuck out and what was the general vibe in school? I mean, was that something that the quote unquote cool kids did, or did that, put you, what was the culture like around pursuing cooking as, a junior in high school?
Well, I kind of have a funny story about that. When I was a junior in high school, I changed schools to Tottenville, and I went to my first day to speak with the advisor, and they said, cooking or auto, I guess, where you would fix cars. And I said, yeah, I don't really feel like fixing cars, so I'll take cooking. Had no real thoughts of, I enjoyed cooking at home a little bit at that point, but no real thoughts of doing it professionally or anything. I guess I didn't really think about anything as far as the future at that point, really.
Pretty normal.
Right, yeah, 16-year-old kid. So I said, yeah, I'll take cooking, and that one little question pretty much changed the rest of my life. So I started the cooking class, and I didn't even really take it too seriously in the beginning, and then just happened to really, really enjoy it. And it was one of those places where instead of going to lunch, I would go to the cooking class and hang out. And my free period in senior year, when I had a few of those, I'd go to the cooking class and hang out and help the other kids, the younger kids, whoever it was, freshman, sophomore, or just anybody that wanted it. And I spent most of my time in high school, I think, in the cooking class. And so that's kind of where I got the love for food that I have still to this day.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take just a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, transitioning out of high school and into the culinary program and get us up to speed today and hear a little bit more of your work down at Chadwick. So hang tight. We will be right back after the short break.
Girls on my face, on the MySpace. Now I'm in your place, slam dunk in your face.
You're listening to N1 by Tom Cruise on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. You know, there's no more telling aspect, no more revealing virtue of a group of people having evolved in a lovely way than how they feed themselves, how they entertain, how they put food on the table, what they put on the table. Heritage Radio Network provides the clearest evidence that there's hope for us yet. Heritage Radio's like Fairway Market in that we both care deeply about what you're having for dinner tonight. Heritage Radio Network is not just about food, though. Every time I tune in, I learn something about things other than food, too. Architecture, design, stuff like that. But from where I stand, I still say, if you can't eat it, what's the point? For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
All right, we are back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. We are in studio with Sean Quinn, executive chef of Chadwick's and CCAP graduate, and on the line with Marissa May, whose father, Tony May, will be honored shortly, March 4th, at the CCAP event. And for folks who are looking to support the work they do, you can definitely still pick up tickets. You can visit www.ccapinc.org. It sounds like it's going to be a great time. Food, more than 35 of the city's longtime favorite and hottest star chefs. Wines were donated by the Charmer Sunbelt Group. And then there'll be a ton of graduates on hand to assist and I think get a chance to do a little hobnobbing with some chefs. So, Sean, I want to hear a little bit more about kind of your journey post-CCAP. So the program kind of got you engaged in cooking in high school, and then facilitated you attending culinary school because you got a scholarship?
Correct.
And how did you choose what school to go to?
Well, Mr. Grossman, who's the founder of CCAP, basically interviews you, and he essentially chooses the school where you're going to go for you, to some extent. And you know what? When Mr. Grossman tells you that you probably should, your probably best bet is to go to this particular school, then you're probably your best bet is to listen to him.
Nice. So what was it like when you showed up on campus? You know, I'm not super familiar with the school. How long is the program?
The program that I attended was 6 months. I did a like basic cooking, and then I came out and I did a long externship in the city. I worked for a law firm, Paul Weiss Law Firm, so their executive dining area, and it was that was a very good experience for me, too.
Cool. And then from there, did you head down to Chadwick's, or how did we make the journey down to Bay Ridge?
I had a few little things in between, and then I grew up in Bay Ridge, and I was living in Bay Ridge again at the time, and working in the city still in corporate dining, and wanted to kind of just work more and learn more. So I knew some people at Chadwick's, so my brother actually had worked there earlier as a waiter a couple years before, so I knew people there. So I went in and just looked for something part time, and they said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "I'm cooking in the city." Said, "Okay, go talk to the chef about some part time stuff." So I worked under the chef before me for about 3 years. I had left to pursue some other opportunities, and then about a year and a half later, the chef that I was working for was leaving, and the owners, Stephen Oliver and Jerry Morris, called me and asked me if I would come back and be the executive chef. And that was I was 25 years old, and I was honored that they even thought to call me back to be their executive. And I took over, and that was about 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago. Since then, you know, when I got back, we had a 22 in Zagat as a food rating. And since then, this year, I have a 24 now, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, we do our best. We get the best stuff we can get, and we don't overdo anything, I think, and try to just give people good, honest food.
Yeah, so if I'm pulling up to a table at Chadwick's, tell me, what would you recommend me ordering my first visit?
Well, I mean, primarily we're a steak place. So I would definitely have a steak if I was coming out to Chadwick's. As far as an appetizer go, we do a great braised smoked pork belly dish, which is one of my favorite things on the menu. We've been somewhat known for our crab cakes for a long period of time. They were a neighborhood favorite They were actually featured on the Food Network one time, Best of the Neighborhood, something like that, for for the crab cakes too. And then Saturday night, we're known for Beef Wellington. We do it every Saturday night. It's one of those things.
Classic.
But yeah, again, yeah, right. And classic, you know, not overdone. People like it. And but yeah, I think...
That sounds great. Well, so if people want to find out more, visit their website. I know the website's chadwickny.com.
Chadwicksny.com.
Chadwicksny.com. And then where the restaurant's located specifically?
On 89th Street and 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. We're on the corner. So nice. Come on down and see us.
Yeah. So, and Marissa, I'd be curious to ask the same of you over at SD26. What are you guys super excited about serving right now? What should I be taking a look at?
Oh, well, we have some wonderful homemade pasta, some great fish and meat dishes. We use a lot of seasonal ingredients. And we have a great CCAP student in our kitchen right now, too. So it's wonderful to hear. They have such wonderful attitudes. They're very gifted, these young students that are considered high risk. So we actually have an open kitchen so you can see our entire staff and our executive chef, Matteo Bergamini, but also see our CCAP student, Abby, who actually is taking over a whole station right now. So
nice.
It's been amazing. Yeah, but we have some wonderful things. We have tasting menus. We have a chef's table inside the kitchen. We have a salumeria, which is right in the middle of the dining room where we were slicing homemade prosciutti, salami, salumis. We have artisanal cheeses from Italy. We have a great wine bar with a great wine bar board, an enomatic machine which are wine dispensing machines, super private rooms, a wine cellar private room, and we have lots to celebrate here, so we're very honored that CCAP is honoring my dad for his 50 years in the business and all he's done for education, and we're happy to support CCAP and its students. We always had students in our older restaurants. We had one at the old San Domenico, but here at SD26, we do have one right now. So we hope you come and meet him and meet our executive chef and our team, too.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, and I'm looking at the list of past CCAP honorees, and it's quite a prestigious list. Alfred Portale, Lydia Bastianich, Thomas Keller, Jacques Pepin. I mean, I could go on and on. And then at the event itself, you know, where tickets are still available, www.ccapinc.org. But it looks like it's going to be a great lineup. Everyone from Jonathan Waxman and Tom Colicchio to Mark Murphy and... lots of great pastry
chefs.
They're
all legendary, really legendary. And it's great also, you know, that my dad is actually good friends with many of them, and they all have kind of grown up in the restaurant industry in New York together. So they're really people that are exciting and inspirational. And I can definitely say that about my dad, Tony May.
Yeah, well, I hope to get Tony down here in Bushwick sometime soon in the studio here. Want to say a big thanks to both Marissa and Sean for coming on today and sharing us a little bit about their experience with CCAP. Would encourage folks to check them out, check out the restaurants, and stay tuned in to the work we're doing here at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.